The Learn Me Something Podcast with your hosts, Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Learn Me Something. As this is our first episode, this show is sponsored by us, Aaron and Rich, as well as our producer, Alex Knight.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Rich.
And I'm Aaron. Just in case you were unsure of that, Alex is out of the room right now, which is probably for the best. We'll get to his ideas later on, I'm sure, but for now, it's all about us. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, this whole podcast, we kind of wanted to address in this first episode what this was about, why Learn Me Something is kind of, I guess, the intro to the first episode.
We're all out there to learn something from each other.
I think that's a good mindset to have, and I think that kind of exemplifies where we wanted to start this off with, was that we're all just kind of stupid.
I'm stupid. I know that for sure. My wife tells me that all the
time. Right? Exactly. And kudos to her, right? Like,
yeah,
I feel that we should all have somebody that can do that to us and just say, dude,
puts me into my spot. She also says I'm not funny, which I am funny.
So but looks aren't everything, so you know.
Thank you, Aaron. Shit.
So I just figured I'd get that out of the way, and that's my own little joke on. It's more of a self-deprecating thing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, man.
Well, you know, you're a sexy beast.
Thank you, as are you. So we're all about just learning something off of each other, right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, Dale Carnegie said that anyone out there can teach you something.
Indeed.
You know, even the homeless guy on the street that has not a dollar to his name, you can learn something off of that person. Mm-hmm. If you go through life expecting that you know everything and that no one can teach you anything, then you're really not living a full life.
Indeed. And I'm going to quote, I love that you threw a quote out there, because that's going to be one of the things that we're going to, I think, be known for.
Yeah, throwing out the quotes.
My love of quotes. One of them that I was going to throw out was Chelsea Handler's, who said, "Not let's all help each other get not stupid."
Okay,
which I felt was a really, right? Like,
yeah, sure.
It starts off with the idea that, you know, the world moves really quickly and information changes all the time. And I feel that if we don't address that in our own minds and just adopt an idea of being able to, you know, accept and adopt new information as it comes to us with a critical thought process that allows us to, you know, cut those parts out that are bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully allow us to move forward with our thought processes.
Just so you know, I will be quoting a lot of things from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Awesome. I love that too.
That was a great movie.
Indeed.
Very, very deep.
Very, very deep indeed. You know, with lots of underlying messages that still to this day hold true.
I wish now I could think of a quote I could say, but I don't know anything.
I believe it was Lincoln who said, "Party on," was it?
Was it Lincoln? That was Wayne's World, I think. But what did they say when they drummed the guitars? They said, "Fuck, what was it?
Wasn't it Party On?"
No, that was Wayne's World, man.
No.
Bill and Ted, they were like, "Be awesome."
Be awesome.
Was that it? Was that what it was? Be awesome?
Yeah, there we go.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They're making a remake of that, you know? Or
which one?
A third part to it. Or they want to. Keanu Reeves and that dude want to make a third part to that one.
Why not, right? Have them come back, and it's their kids now that are going through the whole time travel process.
I don't think Bill's done anything with his career. Keanu Reeves killing it, but...
Haven't really seen... He did that in
John Wick.
I believe The Lost Boys or something he was in, wasn't he?
Yeah. Bill was in that, yeah.
Yeah, and other than that, I can't really speak to what else he's been in since then.
I don't think he's done anything since the mid-90s.
Well, you know, the whole movie thing, you know, I'm a bit of an actor myself. I haven't been anything you've ever seen other than in the very, very background.
Yeah.
But having, you know, studied some of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves is killing it. I'm digging him.
But he also lives the life of non-Hollywood royalty.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a house. He doesn't have a mansion, right?
He's a cool dude.
He is. And that's actually one of the, you know, As we're doing the first episode here, we have a wide open canvas that we can paint here of where we're going to go with our episodes from here on in.
We can paint the canvas of Ken Reeves,
an awesome dude, right? And a philanthropist and a guy that you know, I feel exemplifies kind of the non-capitalist movement that I'd like to.
Yeah, he's kind of a chill dude.
Seems to be, right? Again, you know, not knowing, you know, anything about him really per se, right? And never having met the guy, you know, it's tough to say anything about him, but...
His movies are badass,
man. What I've heard about him is that he's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, I've seen some imager posts of him giving his seat to someone on the subway, so...
That's one that I, right, rides the subway instead of having a driver take him around everywhere, right? I mean...
He's all right, man. Mm-hmm. He's all right. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about this episode? What are you going
to
learn me?
Well, I felt it necessary to address the name and intent of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before you think we're stupid, let me assert we are absolutely stupid.
No, I'm
and that's why
sure.
I wanted to name it, you know, Learn Me Something, instead of having, you know, a hoity-toity
yeah.
sciencey name to it. I wanted to address the fact that, you know, we're kind of stupid.
Don't think that's proper grammar, but
I'm good for that too. You know, that's the other thing about this whole podcast, is we're going to say the wrong things for the wrong reasons, for the wrong words, and mispronounce them and totally screw this up. But the whole idea is that we're hoping to learn something out of the whole process, right? And I feel that accepting our failure is a good part of that.
I promise you, I will screw up many words, even the basic ones.
Right. But I also look at, like, I go back to the whole kind of concept of this started with my taking CPR as a kid, right?
Okay.
Because I was a lifeguard and we took CPR, and part of it was back in the day, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here talking about this, but back in the day, you actually made a fist, and you the idea was you hit them in the chest as hard as you could in order to break the sternum and separate the ribs from it in order to get proper compression of the heart.
Yep.
And it was felt that was the only way of doing it, was to actually break their ribs.
Okay, I just recently took a CPR course, and that's exactly what the guy told me.
Right? But I don't
is
think,
that right?
I don't believe we do that anymore, do we?
I don't know. I took a course 2 years ago, and his theory is, and you, I don't know, this guy didn't seem all there, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay, because I see, again, having retaken CPR, we don't do that, as far as I know, because as far as I know, that would
you puncture, may be right.
You'd puncture the lungs. So yeah. It doesn't make any sense to actually break the, when they've shown that you can do proper compressions without having to break the...
The guy I remember telling us is that, what would you rather have, being dead or broken ribs?
And that's how, originally when I was a kid, that's how they had taught me.
Is that right?
Right? That was their justification for it.
Again, this guy's pretty old school, so.
And again, as far as I knew, because having retaken it, they, you know, I mentioned that in the course, and they went, whoa, dude, don't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
So again, that's part of where this all came from, was that if we don't go back and look at those kind of things, like I would be out there breaking people's chests and killing people potentially.
One of my favorite quotes, if I may quote something
indeed.
Again. This is a second quote coming up in the first little bit. If we accept to be true that which we believe to be true, there's little hope for advancement.
Indeed.
Good one. So even if you think it's true, it's just everyone believes that to be true. If you don't question it and think about it, then we have little hope as a society to advance. I love that quote. I use that in business a lot.
See, and they've shown that the smarter you are, the more intelligent, the easier it is for you to fall into like the logic traps of like pseudoscience and that kind of thing. It's easier because you're more able to justify it. And because you're able to justify it, you feel you're justified in justifying it.
You know what? I even think fake news right now that we see all over the internet, right? It's like you see it out there, you think it's posted or printed or someone, your friend shared it. And if you don't question that and think, is this real?
Exactly.
You're going to fall for it.
Exactly.
I mean, I've fallen for a couple before just because it fell within what I thought was true.
I've carried loads of ideas that with the weight of hindsight are total BS, right? And I look back and go, how the hell did I even think that was something that made any sense whatsoever? And yet I held that belief to the core of my being, right?
I'm gonna admit something to you right now,
uh-oh.
Aaron, okay?
Oh, no.
I thought that OJ was innocent.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, I was going...
That's just between you and me, though. So.
I was going through a thing, okay? Well, it's true. I did.
You know, and...
Whatever. I don't care. Judge me. But fuck you, okay?
OJ I will judge you bastard. How dare you?
If the glove doesn't fit, if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit.
See, and that's one. I mean, I'm perfectly... That's an idea that I'll admit. I'm not... You know, I studied a little bit of it, but I'm not totally up on the news.
Oh, no? Well, I lived in Florida at that time.
I didn't watch the new
I didn't watch that. No, I followed it when it happened. I lived in Florida, and it was pretty big down there at the time. And I remember I left, I was in finite math in college, and I left the class to go watch the verdict. And I came back. The teacher was like, well, like she knew what I was fucking leaving for. And I was like innocent, and I was like fist pumped. And she was like, what? And the class like freaking all got pissed off. And I was like, yeah, Freddy is innocent. The glove didn't fit. They had to quit. But now I think he did it because I learned me something. I'm like, you know what? A lot of this stuff doesn't really make a lot of sense. And I was kind of caught up in the moment. Right? I was a movement and I was...
And that's right. That's an entirely scientifically proven, you know, where they've shown that the weight of a crowd really affects, you know, and that's one of the things I want to address is cognitive biases, where, you know, your brain is easily tricked in a lot of different ways. And without being aware of how your brain can be tricked, we fall into a lot of different you know, logic traps, yeah. Right?
No, I'm with you, man.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, here, I'll give you that one there. You can check it over, but...
Making me handouts already? Okay, so back to what were we talking about?
Well, you know, just kind of addressing where we're, you know, where we're coming from with this whole podcast thing that we're starting up here, and again, we're going to, you know, crystallize this as we go, but just addressing why we started it and what we hope to do with it, you know, starting with the fact that I'm skeptical of anyone who says they know the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to have proper critical thought processes available to sure. us to be able to, you know, address things that are presented to us as truth or not. And, you know, do we find it from multiple sources, or is this something that you heard from hearsay? Is it a theory? Is it right? Like,
well, yeah, I mean, I certainly appreciate the scientific process where here's my idea, here's what I come up with, and you guys go out and test it and see if you come up with the same thing. And I'm very skeptical of people that will just say, no, this is true, and disregard any evidence that points otherwise. I mean, it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's
exactly.
okay to, like, Bill
and that's
Mines.
That's why I wanted to start off with us being stupid, right?
Yeah.
Is that it just assumes that we're wrong
yeah.
and that we're trying to learn something from it.
I've had like 3 glasses of wine. I trust me, I'm stupid right now.
Excellent. Then we're all on the same page.
All right. No doubt, man.
See, and that's that. To speak to that, like I had learned, I read a while ago that IQ was based on 2 scores, and one of them was your crystal intelligence and one of them was your fluid intelligence. Right.
Okay.
And so your crystal intelligence is defined as your experiences and kind of your knowledge, what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And your fluid intelligence is kind of defined as your ability to think logically.
Okay. So you're talking about like environment versus genetics.
It's more just 2 different parts of your brain, right? There's parts yeah. of your brain that are designed just for storing things, mm-hmm. and there's parts of your brain that are designed for using that knowledge.
Okay.
And how you address it and how you manipulate it and how you can store things in your brain and pull that information back up into a later date.
Right, yeah.
Right, and how you might use that information, right? And that's what I kind of wanted to address here was having that fluid intelligence and being able to think logically and address the information that's coming to you, right? Mm-hmm. I call it having fluid brain. Right.
Okay.
Where just being able to look at information critically and assess whether it's true or false or unprovable, right? And being able to categorize information as you know, worthwhile or not. And,
yeah,
and being
sure.
able to, you know, access new information as it comes in and move that yeah. into your...
And one thing I think we all need to be aware of, and especially something during this podcast, is like, if you hear a bit of information that maybe is a contrary to what you would mm. you believe,
mm.
like, you know, Trump's a good president. Well, maybe instead of just dismissing that immediately.
Contrary to all popular.
Not all popular, but a lot. Rather than just dismissing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to figure out, okay, what is this person saying? Why are they saying he's a good president?
Yeah, exactly.
And just really, you know, taking that moment to say, okay, is this, giving it the opportunity to have an impact on you.
Because mm-hmm.
if you just dismiss it because it's something you don't want to hear, you know, I don't know what kind of impression you're making on
exactly
what
versus was. You know, acknowledging that you came to that conclusion based on, you know, a logical
yeah.
progression, whether it be, you know, an illogical result, right? There was still, you know, something in your brain that led you to there, and your experiences may have, you know, cauterized and I guess not cauterized, but crystallized those or made them into what you feel.
Yeah.
Is
if
your
you're
opinion.
If you're just immediately just disregarding new information because it doesn't fit your mold, mm. then you know that's I would challenge the listener to challenge themselves and say, hey, this is contrary to everything I believe. But you know what? I'm gonna give it a thought.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give it the opportunity to okay. Is this something that's valid? Is something that's invalid? I do that all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. In my line of work, I talk to some pretty out there people. They give me some pretty crazy.
Well, people in general are kind of out there. I find right.
Most are. And if I hear something that's like totally left field, I'd be like, okay, that goes against most of what I know. Tell me more. Like why? What are you saying? And I'll assess it and go, okay, is this person full of shit or they actually have something that maybe I'm missing? And like Dale Carnegie says, anybody can teach you anything.
Mm-hmm.
So have an open mind, listen. If you disagree, you disagree. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd love to hear if you disagree.
Well, I think the main point of this is to question why, right? Like you have an idea, why? Why do you feel that? Why do you hold that belief? Why is it that you feel so strongly about the things that you feel strongly about, right? And I want to just address, the parts of our brain that lead us down these garden rosy paths, right?
Yeah,
that don't necessarily...
I think that's a huge part.
Fact.
I think that's a huge part, and definitely has to be the... I mean, that's what I love about what we do, because we talk about facts of things. We talk about, like, topics, but we discuss and talk about the impact of those topics, or the opinions about those topics, or where they're coming from, or is it valid? Is it invalid?
And hoping more to just start the conversation more than anything, right? Like, I just would rather that we open up our minds a little bit and be able to have these conversations on topics that we don't agree on, right? Yeah. And be able to hopefully come to some sort of compromise and meeting halfway in our ideas where we might be able to make each other better.
Yep.
Right?
No doubt, man. So what's... do we have anything else on this particular topic we need to talk about?
Oh, we got all sorts of stuff to talk about, right? I mean, it really comes out to, our definition of rational versus irrational, I guess, right?
Okay. Well, I consider myself to be somewhat rational.
Indeed.
I very rarely get to an irrational state. Very rarely do.
See,
I.
See, and that I think is entirely scientifically provable as entirely false.
Right? I think so, yeah.
See, again, like pointing to the cognitive biases, pointing to a lot of the different parts of our brain that are not designed to deal with modern society as we know it, and therefore,
So let me ask you this. What would you define as irrational?
Well, the like dictionary definition is not agreeable to reason.
Okay. And again, that reason, I mean, I'm with you there, but what does that agreeable to reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think reason is somewhat of a subjective term based on someone's experiences and someone's thoughts. So if someone says, aliens came and visited me last night, well, that's unreasonable, which I potentially agree with.
Which speaks to like our common sense and our common knowledge of things, right? Like a lot of us would think some things are reasonable that aren't reasonable to other people. And it's a matter of being cognizant of their viewpoints and hoping to again kind of meet the halfway, right? Where your ideas may not be the same as mine, but it doesn't mean that they're not valid.
So I'll throw this out there. Someone like Einstein, who came up with
big some fan, by the way,
very out there, or Copernicus or Newton.
Any of the people that came up or new idea.
Let's
really
take Copernicus for example. Okay, who came up with the idea? And I think Don't trust me on this.
Oh, we're already going to get the fact.
Someone's fact checking the shit out of this.
Indeed.
He came up with the fact that the sun's not the center of the universe, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think it was him.
One of the people, I'm sure, that came up with that.
Yeah, someone of his buddies, his drinking buddies, came up with that, and he stole the idea because he's a freaking dick. I think it was Copernicus, came up with the idea that's not true. Now, that went in the face of everything that was believed to be at the time.
Yeah.
So someone would say that guy is irrational.
Well, and the church at the time preached that was not true, and so therefore he was against God.
Yeah, so now I take, I'll devil's advocate, if I think that's the right term, is that is someone who is irrational, are they truly irrational? They come up with a different idea that goes against the grain of all of society. And if so, do we owe that person who comes up with the irrational idea the opportunity to express or to make that argument? I mean, take religion. I mean, if Jesus Christ came in 2017, no one's following him. No one's listening to him. There's no movement happening, And right now there's tons of people because he came back from, whenever, and just everyone believes that. Everyone follows him. I'm not saying religion's right or wrong either way, but if that person came up today with the thought process
and
whatnot, it wasn't there.
L. Ron Hubbard basically is the modern day equivalent of what a Jesus, right? Like he came up with an idea and sold it to people, right?
So
and now Scientology is this big thing.
Right.
Right.
And so now I pose the question, is rational or irrational dependent on the majority? If the majority of people think something in particular, does that make that thought rational or irrational? And that's a pretty...
Oh, dude, see,
exciting...
we're already going deep on this shit. All right, sweet.
No, I know. Like, I mean, think about it. I mean, that's...
Exactly.
Does history decide what's rational or irrational?
And that's why I feel it's more important to just be able to, address ideas as you get them, right? Like, it's more important to be able to have that fluid brain, yeah. right? To be able to assess information and decide rationally or you know, as close to rational as we can get with our sadly limited brains, whether that's a rational thought and whether it's something to be taken into the rest of our consciousness.
I wish there was a better definition of rational. I think
there's actually about 9 different definitions. I wrote them all out if you'd like to hear all of them.
Well, maybe not all of them, but
I'm kind of a word guy.
Is there anything that would be rational thought is something that subjectively, I don't know if that's the right word.
Proceeding or derived from reason or based on reasoning. It's basically the idea, you know, reason, but I mean, I haven't looked up the definition of reason.
Non-emotional, non-biased, but just unbiased looks or ideas, I think would be a rational decision. Like, there's no bias in this. I'm not coming from a spot of, I want to push an objective or I have, you know, I'm gonna have my viewpoint or my argument to fit the, you know, the goal I want to make.
That would be probably about the dictionary definition of it, right?
Oh,
and more what we want to address here is the fact that that is a completely impossible subject for the human brain to actually do, right? It's literally impossible for us to be unbiased. That's kind of where I would like to,
you know, I would agree.
Right? And that's the fundamental theory behind this whole thing is that we can't be unbiased, but we can try to look at our biases and recognize them and be more cognizant of the fact that we are led around technically by the nose by our brain, right? And that a lot of the things you take as a logical thought that you've had or come to a logical conclusion on, that's been the process of your subconscious brain processing that without you thinking about it technically from what they say, possibly months. Right, depending on what you're trying to address.
That's some deep stuff, man.
I love neuroscience, right? Like, and they're constantly doing new, they're hooking new things up to and prodding this. And now that we've got the actual being able to map the brain, it's amazing to be able to, in real time, look at what your brain does when you're thinking about a banana. Right? We've never in the history of time been able to, right? To be able to actually look inside the human brain on mushrooms and say, oh, right. Like their brain is doing this while they're experiencing colors.
Yeah. That's kind of awesome.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's awesome stuff, man. I'm digging
it. And something that we'll address in future episodes,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Throwing it out to the general population of what you might like to learn. You know, we have all sorts of ideas of ourselves for what we would like to learn, but we'd like to throw it out there eventually to the general population and see what you guys might like to learn and start addressing all of the myriad ways that we can make each other smarter every day.
No doubt, brother. So what are we talking about on this episode? Do you have a typical topic?
Well, technically it was, you know, like, why learn me something, but okay. the title to it, I guess, would be The Great Paradox of People. Right? Which I think is going to be kind of the underlying topic that we're going to deal with through all of this in, you know, how we learn, why we learn, what we want to learn, you know, but kind of why we have such troubles with these things that we're talking about, like learning new things or, you know, the fact that as a society, we're not really trained to, again, think critically or to learn in general, right? We're not taught to use our memory in school. We're just taught to memorize things. Right?
Yeah.
We're not taught how to actually think critically. We're just taught to work in a factory, right?
Well, I mean, I think in some degrees we are taught to think critically. I think that's something that algebra and whatnot that, you know, teaches us to do finite math.
Well, that's
referenced earlier.
It's more the logical, like, I mean, algebra is one thing, but if you don't understand the why behind algebra, right?
Yeah.
Like why these numbers add up to this, why this letter can stand in for these numbers, why, right? Like, if you don't understand the fundamentals of it, if you're not, you know, capable of thinking of it critically or understanding how that applies to your life.
Yeah.
Right. It's difficult you to have any, you know, investment in learning any of that stuff. Right.
You know what I like about this is that you're like abstract and you're like,
oh, I'm full on abstract.
You're out there and you're like far-fetched ideas.
Oh, you need big far-fetched ideas. I'm big on that.
And I'm
looking forward to having people that, you know, look at my far out big ideas and go, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
what the fuck
that is obviously
about,
just stupid and holds no.
Well, and I'm very logical and orderly. You know, I'm very procedural. I'm very, you know, by the book. Everything has to flow. Everything has to point to a direction. I like the fact that you're like, you're out there and it's just like, hey, here's this idea. Here's this idea. Here's this idea. And
well, to toot our own horns, I think that that's why the two of us are great for this idea in general, right?
Is compliment that, you know, each other.
I come up with the big ideas and you can logically look at it and go, what the fuck you talking about, man? Right? I've been looking for that kind of back and forth for a long time because I really feel that without having, like, I've listened to Neil deGrasse Tyson, big fan also, and he was talking about how a lot of like scientific theories in general have to face resistance. Right.
Yeah, that's part of the process.
Exactly. And it's kind of like a sociological effect as well, where any good idea has to face some resistance behind it in order to get lift. Mm-hmm. Right. And without that resistance, it's not necessarily that great of an idea, right? Whereas the more resistance you may face, the more it may actually be something that's worthwhile.
Yeah. And that's when, not sort of religion on the bus or anything, but when Ken Ham,
we'll get to
that
episode later.
Yeah, religion being thrown on the bus, episode six.
Yeah.
When you talk about like Ken Ham and things like that, where they take, you know, it's just complete disregard of fact. I remember when Bill Nye and Ben and Ken Ham had that debate, and the moderator asked, or someone asked, what's something that would change your mind? And Ken Ham said nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to change my mind.
And that's the entirely wrong way of going about life.
Right, because Bill Nye says evidence.
Yeah.
You show me evidence. You show me one shred of evidence.
Exactly.
This is true. I'm going to change my entire position.
Yeah.
And Bill Nye's like, nothing. No evidence. Not Bill Nye. Ken Ham.
Yeah.
Said nothing will change my, I think it's Ken. Is it Keith or Ken? I think it's Ken.
I don't even
Ken Ham,
know who you're.
The guy that built the Ark. They built the replica
Ark. Yeah. Okay. I know of the guy, but I don't necessarily.
I think it's Ken Ham.
Okay, sure. We can do an episode on that later.
Yeah, just the fact that that was evident. That was just, you know, like that's it. That's what our show's about. It's like show us, get us thinking in a different direction. Get us thinking about something. Show me evidence.
Well, getting back to the brain scans, now that we can actually look at our brains, right? They've shown that highly religious people have very deep set neural pathways, right? Where having to justify their belief is a very, very highly defined neural pathway in their brains because they've gone over and over and over and over and over those exact pathways over and over again without ever branching off into new territories.
We love religious people, by the way.
Exactly, right?
We love them.
I mean, if you want to believe in making life better for all human beings, by all means, right?
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
But if you have to do that by adopting an us against them mentality in any way, unfortunately, I can't get behind it.
Yeah, and I'm the same way on that. Yeah. I mean, you know, and you have atheists that are the same way that they'll, you know, they won't accept anything from a religious person. I mean, they just completely disregard it. That's not the way you live life.
Exactly, right? Like, more and more, I try to live the life of a shaman, right?
Where,
you know, having studied a little bit of it, the shaman was there as the mediator to the people. He was the one that basically went into the spirit world, quote unquote, and came back with the knowledge of the ancestors to impart upon the people, right? And that was his whole job, was to just be that guy that could explain the will of the gods, quote unquote, to the people. Right. And I want to be more the scientific shaman where we can take these ideas and hopefully find a way of disseminating to them to the people that aren't necessarily keen on listening. right?
Yeah.
And finding a way of breaking down those barriers that we have, those walls that we've built up to being able to access new information.
And bring that information, be the shaman. And you'll be very excited to know that for 5 years I was a shaman on World of Warcraft. Yeah, a healing shaman.
Okay.
Kick some ass on some raids, just so you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me more about the great paradox, the human paradox.
Well, I think that what we're facing a lot nowadays is, and I mean, one of the things that we want to address here again is just that we live in a world today where we have to tend to be more apathetic to others in general in order to...
Or empathetic.
Well... Society isn't really giving us any actual reward for being empathetic to people.
Okay.
And I think that's a part of the problem that we have where we're not putting ourselves in each other's shoes at all anymore.
I would agree with you.
And being able to look at it something objectively as how would you feel if that were happening to you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. We don't, and Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I would say that we need more of that.
Oh, for sure. I'm talking about like apathy being the absence of that.
Yeah.
Right.
But are you arguing that we need more apathy?
No. I feel that that's the root of evil.
Well, I would agree with you. Yeah.
Basically, and that's where we find a lot of the problems in society, as far as I'm concerned.
I would agree with you 100%.
Is that we've separated ourselves from our humanity in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I always argue that if you're having an argument with someone, okay, now, whether it is Donald Trump's the best president that the country's ever seen. Okay, fine. I would disagree with that stance, but I would try to understand where it is you're coming from.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if I know that at the end of it, after me understanding that, I'm probably not going to agree with you. I'm still going to try to understand where is this person coming from. I just recently had an argument with my boss, who I respect immensely, and I found out that he was a Donald Trump fan, and it was like someone could have kicked me in the gut. So we're having arguments, and I'm like, okay, I have to understand where he's coming from. Mm-hmm.
Because instead of just outright dismissing his point of view.
Because, you know, what does that do for? Then you're listening to someone to respond, not to listen to someone say, okay, what is this person actually saying to me? Mm-hmm. Like, why?
And I got it. Why does he believe that?
And now that I did that, I get it. Because he's all about, I don't want to get into Donald Trump politics or anything like that. But he's all about.
Episode 8.
Yeah, episode 8, Donald Trump politics.
Yeah.
There are none.
No, there is. Sadly, it's
fly by the seat of pants politics, but whatever. Sorry. But I can see where he's coming from. He's all about, not big government. He's all about, you know, letting people do live or fail, or, you know.
He follows the Deepak Chopra method where you just say things. And people go, oh, okay. And whether they actually mean anything or not,
no, I don't know,
doesn't necessarily count.
But listening to him, I understood that he was coming from not a negative place. He was, because I think about
Donald
Trump supporters.
Oh, and
I think
about your boss. Okay.
Yeah, I think about Trump supporters as people that have a lot of hate to them. And, you know, I don't think they have a lot of hate. I don't think all of them have a lot of hate to them, but I think they're certainly okay with hate.
Well,
that's my personal opinion.
As far as I'm concerned, you can't address the idea of Donald Trump being president without addressing the fact that the country was built with slavery.
Yeah. Right?
Essentially, the country was founded on slavery. And without addressing that, you can't address the
dangerous
idea that now he's you know.
And not to disregard that fact. I mean, that's definitely a fact that you have, but I think it's a little bit dangerous to inject that into a situation because I don't know that every person.
We're all
that,
about danger.
My middle name is Danger. But I don't think that every person that voted for Donald Trump supports slavery or
comes.
I get that aspect, and it's very much a lie.
But you
in
look at his rallies,
culture.
Right? There were people punching people at rallies. And I don't understand how that was ever considered to be normal behavior for people.
No, and it's not. I mean, but you also had people on the other side, on the left, that took some pretty extreme action. I mean, so
but
you can't
why?
Say one
See,
or the
again,
other.
Like,
I mean,
that's the
Black
main point
Lives
of this
Ladder.
Show is why. Why were they doing that? See, and this, we'll get it. I like where we've kind of thrown out a bunch of different other episode ideas here.
Yeah.
And this was kind of what I wanted to do with this first episode, where we didn't really have a set structure
right.
to this thing.
So let,
we kind of wanted to just kind of address what we wanted to talk about, who we are, and what kind of things we might want to talk about in the future.
So if we can talk about that what the future episodes I think are going to be, mm-hmm. definitely from my perspective. And that one thing that's nice about this is we're both going to have our own perspectives on
exactly.
things. And each episode is going to be a little bit different.
These are all just our opinion, ladies and gentlemen.
And Aaron's very abstract.
And you feel free to disagree with us or agree with us at your leisure.
And Aaron's a very abstract person. I'm going to be a little
bit
logical
as well.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a logically abstract person.
But from you and I, you're more of a big idea guy, where I'm going to be more of a systematic person. And I think that's going to be a good compliment to each other. And what I think we're going to have is a topic per week that we'll discuss. You know, whether it's going to be,
that's where we start.
It's going to be molded
around something. I like the idea of the fact that we can really just talk about anything, and it's whatever you guys would like to hear. We'd be happy to take your subjects if they're, you know, decent subjects and not just a load of...
And just chat about them.
I'm perfectly happy to talk about a load of shit, but, you know, it's we have to have a purpose behind it, I would hope. Some sort of purpose.
Yeah, you want to get something.
This episode is not really speaking a whole lot to the...
More of us chatting, because we're a couple cool
which
cats,
again, was
kind
of the intent behind this first episode. We'll get to the more structured stuff later on.
The next one will be very structured.
Sure.
Because I'm doing it. It's going to be very structured.
Excellent.
I'll be like, shut up, Aaron. I'm talking.
I really did have, I have pages and pages of notes that I wanted to go
through
here.
Okay, well, let's talk about it.
We've kind of touched on a lot of it, right? Like,
so the human paradox. I'm still confused of what do you mean by the human paradox?
Well, it's how rational people make irrational decisions.
Okay.
Right? Or how, you so know, how we got, how we got the Donald Trump and how people that, you know, have thoughts came to those thoughts, right? And whether they were biased or what biases they might have affected and kind of, it's the idea that who we are is in a lot of ways colored by who we meet, who we've been in contact with over the course of our lives, right?
Yeah.
And so without looking at the other experiences that we've had and kind of seeing how that colors our reactions to things, right? Like they've shown that basically your child is programmed within the first 5 years of their life to be who they're going to be for the rest of their life. Right. And past that, it's more difficult to change who they're going to be, right? So within that first little while, you become kind of who you're going to be.
Okay. So you're saying 5 years. Okay. And that may be true.
It's you know, a general theory, right? Like it's within that first, you know, years of developing life where your brain kind of sets itself into the actual mold that it's going to be in for the rest of it, of your life, right? And without being able to adopt a mentality of flexibility, right? Without so having learned me something flexible. Branded on your brain from the beginning.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
It's very easy to fall into the trap of never reading a book for the rest of your life.
So you're saying the human paradox is the fact that we're rational people driven by irrational thoughts.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And that I think is kind of the underlying where we want to go with this, right? The whole idea behind this is that we're irrational people. And again, we're going to make mistakes with this whole podcast. We're going to fuck things up. And I kind of hope that we fuck things up so that we can address the conversation behind it. Right.
Yeah. But we're going to be taking different topics and talking about them, you know, like, and I see it, there's going to be some very open topics that are going to be about like religion or about algebra or some other, you know, that doesn't really have a lot of tangible things. And then we're going to have other topics, I think, that are going to be really diving, okay, what is this? Like, how does this work? Like, what are the guts about this? Yeah. And let's, you know, what's the impact that this is going to have on the world or has on the world? And let's talk about our opinions on that. You know, so it's going to be good, I think, in a couple different ways.
Well, and I'm hoping to, like, we've got interviews planned, hopefully, for people to come in and teach us something about things that we're, you know, exceptionally stupid about.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Of which I'm sure there's millions and millions of subjects, right? But
yeah,
it's again, it's more the fact that, like, I say stupid, and I mean more just kind of a, you know, I say that with quote-unquote, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm not calling us stupid. I'm more trying to address the idea that in the end, we don't really know anything, right?
Okay.
And kind of just addressing the fact that
you know, I'm hungry.
We start off with nothing and you know, without having that general desire to make yourself better, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You got to challenge yourself.
Or without being cognizant of the fact that might be something that you could, you know, aspire to.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, no doubt, man. Well said.
Well, you know.
Well said. Okay.
I'm hoping we'll have lots of those, but
yeah, maybe.
There's also the potential for it to be complete bullshit.
Yeah, I bullshit often. That's my specialty, actually.
Well, and from there, you know, we can address the issue of a social cost, right? Like, we may spew some bullshit out, but we'll be the first ones to say, hey, you know, that was a mistake, and we're sorry.
Yeah, I may, right? I'd word it differently, but okay, well, fine, know, I'm apologizing because you told me I had to.
Well, see, that's, you know, again, I find that our words are not necessarily, you know, the whole PC culture where I'm hoping to devote an episode to, right? And how that's kind of changed our...
That would be an interesting one. That would be a good debate.
Right? Just to look at, you know, whether that's actually a beneficial route for society to you know, censor our words all the time and how that might affect our communication with each other and whether we're able to better communicate with each other or whether, like, they've shown that people that swear tend to be more truthful.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? Yeah. Because you're not having to censor your words. You're not having to...
But I don't know if swearing is politically correct or not politically correct. I mean, I'll give you the example of what I think politically correct is. And I've had lots of arguments with people on this. The term midget, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I thought for a long time that that was a clinical term. Like that was the actual term you use for short people.
And that's
okay?
Right.
So I use it all the time, okay? Then someone says, no, it's not midget, it's short person. Midget's an offensive term. I had no idea. I was educated. Someone learned me something. So now I don't say midget, which I do now.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to reference
actually,
it for this.
Actually, I have recorded proof that you do, but.
I had to say that for this piece, but, you know, and then, you know, someone will say, well, I've always said it that way. So I'm just going to keep saying that way because that's convenient for me. And that is what I think is politically correct. I mean, if you said, you know what, I don't want you to call me a he because I don't associate with he. I want you to call me X.
Yeah,
I'm going to call you an ex because
exactly.
That's what you want
right?
to do.
Right.
Right. I'm not going to like, fuck you. I've always said he, so I'm not going to, it's inconvenient for me to consider your feelings when I say something. So I'm going to say whatever I want. And I think that is the purpose behind politically correct. Now, I think there's people out there that are paid, but they make a living to be offended by things. And they look, they try to find things in the world to constantly be offended by. And that's taking political correctness by hostage. You know, I think political correctness is a good thing because if you're hurting a group of people, let's say the Redskins, the Washington Redskins, if there's a group of people that are offended by that name and Redskin is a derogatory term, yeah, I mean, there's some validity there. And to say, you know, that's inconvenient for me. I don't want to have to change what I say and it means something different to me than what it means to you. I, you know, that's a bit of an argument that I think that the people offended have the right to make.
For sure.
You know? And you can say, I think the Washington Redskins are fair enough to say, no, screw you, I don't care. I'm going to continue to be offended or continue to say what I want and I don't care if it offends you. But I don't think...
But why would you do that, right? Like, the, you know, does that...
Well, they
does
have
that,
done that.
Well, that's exactly the problem, right? And I think that comes down to money, which unfortunately, right, is...
Is it money?
When I ask why of a lot of these things, it generally tends to come back to some form of financial...
I don't know if that's money. I think that's the... I mean, it could be.
The owners don't want to change the name, right?
Yeah,
like, what
I mean,
other
sure,
what other reason would they have? Like, other than it'll cost them a few million dollars to do, what other reason would they have to not want to change
the
name?
I mean, the argument...
Names change all the time.
Yeah, but you have people that have no dog in that fight that aren't going to make money off of it. They're adamant that no, the name shouldn't change, it stays the same because it's always been
well,
that
yes,
way.
Yes, but the definition of fan is fanatic, right?
Hey.
And that can sometimes preclude logical thought,
yeah, no
right?
Doubt.
So, you know, it's one of those arguments where like, yeah, you could be, you know, looking at the people that aren't offended, but are the people that are offended just as right?
So take that, for example, as to irrational and rational. Mm-hmm. Which one's rational, which one's irrational? Because I guarantee people on the other side of things that take that as a hurtful term are going to be irrational because it can come from a place of emotion and rather than logical thought. Same thing on the other side. So
and that,
which,
yeah, for sure, right? And a lot of it, you know, I find that a lot of the arguments that we have are more emotionally based than logically based. And that, I think, is kind of where we have
a lot
of the issues that we faced where you know, you're trying to talk to somebody and it just devolves to, fuck you,
yeah,
right?
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
And you don't,
never
you don't move
anywhere.
The conversation forward from there, right?
Yep, yep.
And there's never any point afterwards of going, oh, I'm sorry for losing my shit that way. Like, yep. I'm sorry that your conversation, your words pushed me to the point where I couldn't speak to you as a normal human being. Right.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no,
and I think that's part of, again, where we've lost our humanity is that we don't look at the other side of the coin. Right.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Empathy.
You know, exactly. Right.
We need like, empathy in the world.
I may not agree with you and that's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
Right. And I mean, you know, that's another part where I come across the problem of, you know, do you allow people to continue along with their, you know, quote unquote stupidity, right? I'm reading a book by Schopenhauer, right?
Okay.
Who talked about how where did I find that quote? I had it in here.
Schopenhauer, huh?
Although it has often been said that we ought to pursue truth, even when no use for it can be seen, since its use may be indirect and appear when not expected, I find I must add here that we should be just as anxious to discover and eradicate every error. even when no harm from it can be seen, because this harm may be very indirect and appear one day when not expected, for every error contains a poison within itself.
Yeah, no doubt.
By Arthur Schopenhauer, right? And I find that, that is kind of where I come from now, is that these illogical paths that we follow are kind of a poison. Right? Where like the Black Lives Matter, and then there was immediately this All Lives Matter, which completely, it negates what they're trying to say. And that's a problem, right? And it's, yep, it's something where it's an error in our logic that we need to address.
Well, right? Okay. So in that situation,
I just use that as an example. That was just the first thing that popped in my head there.
But again, I don't think you can take an abstract idea like Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter or Cops Life or whatever it's going to be,
I don't
and say that it. One is rational and one is irrational, because they're both going to combine of irrational and rational thoughts. And it's what...
The problem is that it again, like the whole idea behind the Black Lives Matter movement is that the Black lives are being targeted, and they are specifically being targeted, and it's a specific problem that is specific to them.
I would
right?
agree with you. Definitely agree with you.
The idea that precludes all other lives is bullshit, right? And that's where the All Lives Matter thing comes in, is that no, the Black lives don't matter. All lives matter. And that's not what they're trying to get across, right? They're not saying that all lives don't matter. They're just trying to address the specific fact that they're being targeted.
Yeah, I mean, the All Lives Matter thing, I agree with the Black Lives Matter movement.
This is all just our opinion, ladies and gentlemen, from stupidity.
And it's what's rational and what's irrational. I think the conversation is rational. I think lack of conversation is irrational.
Right? That's what we're trying to get at here, is that it's more just about having the conversation. We may be wrong when we're having the conversation, but if we learn something out of it, then...
And I don't think an opinion can be wrong. Opinion can be, I agree with or disagree with. I mean, but I think it's important to listen to an opinion, especially when the opinion comes from a place of empathy and a place of, you know, let's look at something from a different perspective. And it's not come from emotion. It doesn't come from preconceived ideas about something. It takes an honest look at a situation, and someone is presenting a different perspective, mm-hmm, on that situation. So when you take the Black Lives Matter movement, for example, and someone says, no, all lives matter. I saw a great argument online where someone says, take that as a table where there's different people sitting at the table. One person doesn't get the food. And he says, hey, wait a minute. I matter too. I should get food as well. And someone says, who has a plate full of food, says, ha, silly person. All of us deserve to get food, but still gives that person no food. Mm-hmm. I mean, Black Lives, I totally agree that, I mean, the data doesn't lie, that if you look at the, Black people are far more likely to be killed by police. It happens more often. They're in jail longer for the same crimes. They're convicted more.
When they're convicted, they can't vote.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a controlling body that's moving that. I think it's just prejudices that happen in people growing up, and it's just it just kind of is the way it is. And I think the Black Lives Matter shed light on that. I don't think there's a controlling body that's moving the group of people into,
I think that's the American society, right?
I think it's just something that's inbred into them.
Exactly.
And something that they are.
And it's unfortunately, it's tough. I mean, being a white guy.
I'm a white guy too.
Right. I can't really...
Dudes.
I recognize that my whole opinion on this is bullshit and probably is it, right? But it just seems to me that, I mean, without knowing anything about it, the facts are pretty plain, right? I mean, you look at the number of people in jail, you look at the fact that they've been, from the very beginning of the country, were systematically used.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's what U.S. was founded on. Not founded on slavery, but definitely built off of slavery.
It was actually kind of... Right? The White House was built with slaves.
It was
right?
founded...
Like,
it was a backbone.
They had 120...
Free labor.
150... Yeah, exactly. A free labor, right?
Yeah.
And now they've just transferred it to the prison system, where now they've got the people in prison doing all of their free labor, right?
There's definitely a correlation there. I mean, I don't know how much I believe in... If it's a systematic movement of white people to continue to enslave black people. I think it's more of a prejudice and something more of just in their bones.
It definitely started from a systematic prejudice.
I think there were some people that pushed that current in that direction.
There were movies that's been in the popular culture. It like the whole idea behind marijuana prohibition or criminalization was based on the idea that the black men were smoking, the Mexicans were smoking it and going crazy and raping white women. Well, that was literally, right, the propaganda that they fed people for years.
Yeah. I mean, again, one thing
I still kind of do.
I don't know how much of a controlled, you know, movement that was. More of just like
targeted.
Of an avalanche that happened where many people with the same opinions kind of said, yeah, let's go this direction.
But the policymakers, I mean, that's...
Yeah, for sure. You're going to have those two people in there too, but I don't know if there was like one... You know, I know not everyone got on a conference call or had a meeting and said, okay, this is what we're doing. I think it was just more of a like, hey, let's do this. And oh yeah, I like what this guy's doing. And it was more, that's what a movement is, right? I mean, I don't think it was a control thing. I think that has a lot to do with
episode on this because there was definitely, there was definitely controls.
Yeah, there may have been.
There's definitely, yeah.
Okay, so what else are we talking about here?
Well, you know, I think we're
we good? Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of things that we, you know. Totally.
I mean, this has
about.
Been a pretty open episode, just talking exactly. kind of about whatever and kind of the concept of the show. And I think the next ones are going to be, or some of them are going to be a bit more.
Well, see, and I mean, I want to speak to the fact that I really feel like most people take kind of a pessimistic view of people, right? And that, oh, you know, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, which they've disproven, right? Mm-hmm. Your brain cells can regenerate up until you die. Right. As long as you take care of them, if you do a bit of exercise, that's the only way that they've proven actually can, you know, regenerate brain cells is by exercising for at least 30 minutes. Right. But I think I want to just address the fact that, you know, and I'm going to throw another quote out here.
Do it, buddy.
It's one by Williamson, who said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And I think that's something that we're not really taught as kids, is that we are powerful and that we have the ability to learn and teach ourselves things and grow as people. I think we're taught to, you know, go into the factory and accept that as our lot in life. And the fact is that they're taking that away as a actual,
yeah, no doubt.
Right, viable way of having a life, right? Without addressing the problem of, you know, how people are supposed to move on once they've had their livelihood taken away from them, right?
It's deep stuff, man.
You know, we're going to get there, right? I kind of hope that this episode here has really kind of set the stage, hopefully, for where we're hoping to go with the rest of this and how we are hoping to grow as people and human beings and stupid people over the course of this whole process, right? Yep. I hope that you, the listener, will help us grow as people and learn and by hopefully teaching you something and learning something from you, we can all become better people.
Help me grow, people. I need it.
Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate you guys coming out for this inaugural episode. And stay tuned for what's to come.
There's lots to come, people. Don't worry.
And thanks for listening and have a great day.
You've been listening to Learn Me Something with Aaron Stewart and Rich Plum on Hologram Radio. If you like the podcast, please rate and subscribe in iTunes and share it with a friend. To find other interesting podcasts like this one, please visit our website at hologramradio.org.